first, we are going to be talking to my next guest. Victor Cohen is involved with everything having to do with comedy. He's an actor, a producer, an Emmy-nominated TV writer, and creator for talk shows, game shows, and he also writes for comedians such as Joan Rivers and Howie Mandel. Welcome to the show, Victor. How are you?
Thank you so much. It is so exciting to be here. And guys, if the people have never met you, you have some serious guns.
Oh.
Like your arms. I mean, you're ripped.
Well, it's incredible. About 20 years ago, I did a bodybuilding competition. It was my one and only, and I did it, and I'm done with it, and I still do work out. And
yeah, I mean, you don't have an ounce of fat. I mean, you're in great shape.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How'd you do in the competition?
I took second in the state.
Wow, that's
pretty
good.
At age 36, I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do that kind of competition when you're working. You know, a lot of it takes good 8-10 hours a day of working out and dieting and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, and unfortunately, I have a day job. So,
yeah. Oh, one more thing I got to say. I love your opening your segment. Welcome back on your trip. It sounded like really a lot of fun.
It was great.
And you said 36% of Americans have passports.
Right.
And the reason I think this is because we don't need passports with Google. You know, you just put in Helsinki.
Yeah, right.
And you're there.
That's right.
It's like, I don't.
It's like having a ViewMaster.
It's great.
Is that what you call those things? Remember that when you were a kid?
Oh, no, I don't know anything about
ViewMaster. Yeah,
I'm way too young for that.
You know those things that are like a wheel and you'd see like the Grand Canyon?
Oh, yeah. It was like totally crazy that thing was even a popular toy.
Well, my mother used to say, we don't have to see the Grand Canyon. You just saw it.
That was the Google back then.
That's right.
Sadly. That's
sadly
how bad it was. Oh, and I brought you a gift.
You did? What is it? Oh, my gosh.
It's wrapped.
Why did you even wrap it? It looks like...
Well, yeah, take a guess.
Okay. It looks like a salad.
No, here's the clue.
It looks like
here's
a salad.
Here's the clue.
Dish.
My mom always said when you're a guest...
Yes.
You must bring a gift. So it has something to do with...
I'm going to let Jerry
This has something
it.
To do with my mom.
Okay.
Now, the paper is tough to unwrap because it's actually a bag.
Okay.
I went to Walgreens downtown here, and this cracked me up. Like, I go in there and I'm buying a bag, and then she rings me up, and the woman there, she says, "Do you need a bag with that?" Like, she was going to sell me a bag for my bag.
Oh.
That's how automatic it is here with them. I think that's where they're making all their money.
Okay. Well,
on the bags.
Do you buy the bag when they ask you? Today I went and I bought groceries, and I said to myself, I'll be darned if I'm going to pay for a bag. So I walked home with like an armful of groceries like an idiot just because
I don't
want to pay. What is it? Like, how much?
It's 7 cents.
Seven
it's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Are these biscottis?
Those. Okay. This is the Jewish version of biscotti. This is mandel bread.
Okay.
And mandel bread is very Jewish. My mom is amazing at making mandel bread.
This looks really
good. It's great dunking in coffee or anything else you want to dunk in.
You're trying to sabotage my guns, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I know.
Well, I will share them with everyone.
And there are chocolate chip ones in there.
Oh, man.
And then there are other ones that are just nut. The nut ones are really more traditional. I love the ones with the chocolate. So my mom, I'm going to tell you something. This is like holy stuff. And then giving you.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I moved back from Los Angeles was for the mandel bread.
Well, I want to get to that. I want to talk a little bit about you first, though. You have done so many different things. First of all, you are basically raised in Chicago. You got your master's degree in journalism from Northwestern. You have been a TV reporter, a film critic. You've done stand-up at Caesar's Palace. You've had series. You've been acted on regular television shows. You were in the Versace American Crime Story, on Mobbed, A-List, Deal With It. You write for game shows. You've done a lot of things, and you spend all this time in California. Now you're back in Chicago. We're going to talk about that. But I want to talk first about my favorite topic, which is game shows.
Okay. I love game shows.
I love game shows.
Yeah.
I grew up on all the Password and Hollywood Squares and $10,000 Pyramid or $100,000 Pyramid, whatever it was called.
No, back then it was $100
Pyramid. Well, yeah, that's right.
No, inflation, you're not that old. You're not that old.
Inflation just takes care of that.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Game shows making a comeback, do you think?
Well, I think that we've been seeing it for a pretty long time. And they've come back in all kinds of forms because really, The Bachelor is a game show.
That's
The Bachelorette
true.
Is a game show. So we've been seeing it for a long time. I think reality TV kind of brought in the game show. Big Brother is really a game show drawn out. But our traditional studio game shows, we've definitely been seeing a resurgence of it. As you know, I don't know if you mentioned, but I was the writer for Deal or No Deal. So I was writing for Howie, the host.
Howie Mandel.
And Howie Mandel. And that show is actually going to be coming back on CNBC. It was gone for a while in reruns. I believe it was on the Game Show Network.
Well, so let's get into this a little bit of detail. So when you say you write for the show, you are trying to make everyone funny, and you're trying to make everyone entertaining, correct? So you're feeding lines to Howie Mandel. You're feeding lines to the contestants as well?
Well, here's how it works.
And feeding, maybe that's the wrong word.
Yeah. I was not feeding anyone.
Okay.
But yeah, basically the way it was, the way it works is everything that happens game-wise is totally unscripted. So we never script the result.
Sure.
And that's real important to mention, because when I've said I've written on game shows, people get confused and they say, well, what are you writing? And then they'll say, oh, I knew it was fixed. That's not what I'm writing. So because of the game show scandals of like the 50s or whatever, they are today still feeling the effects of that in the game show world. On a game show, there is someone, an outside firm that's hired from, they call it SNC, the letter S and then ampersand C, and that stands for Standards and Compliance. And they will hire attorneys. There are law firms that specialize in overseeing, they're a third party, and they're overseeing the show. And because
I like this job.
Yeah.
Could you get me hired?
If you'd be interested, but I think you're doing too well here in Chicago. I don't think you want to give this up.
I could be a game show lawyer.
It sounds fun, but it's
very interesting.
Yeah. So when there are rulings during the show, the lawyers can get involved.
Now, so like if someone has an answer that's not quite right, but it's sort of right, that they might come in and make that decision.
Yes, it has happened many times. Now, we don't include that in the edits because it would be very dry and boring.
Of course.
But yeah, that is a very big part of the show. So as a writer, what I would be doing is there are intros and outros, like when you're going to break, that stuff needs to be written. And then also on Deal or No Deal, if you remember the show, for those of you listening, Karen and Jerry, he's still here with us, Karen's husband. So the way the show would work is it was produced in the sense we would have surprise guests that were connected to the player. Like maybe we flew in the lady's mother from India to, you know, so a lot of that I was involved with as well. Or we had a banker and he would provide kind of often joke like offers. Like there was a heavy set guy and once and the banker offered, he said something like if he'll give him X amount of money and the car, there was a car we put on stage if he could get in the car. And it was a tiny little sports car. And the banker was always the mean guy. So that would be written. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, what I want to talk about after we have our break, I want to talk about how you go about writing, because my idea of comedy writing, I remember the Dick Van Dyke Show, right?
Yeah.
Was that what it was called? The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
Where he was a comedy writer and they'd sit around a table and they'd come up with comedy ideas. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but we don't have time to finish that. I do want to ask you, you worked with Kylie Jenner and you, how did you come to work with
her?
So
there was a show, I believe it was on TBS or True TV, but I think it was TBS. It was called Deal With It. And it's a format, a game show where people would show up at a restaurant and the whole game show would happen in a restaurant on location. And then celebrities would talk to one person in an earpiece to like a person who came in and then to have them try and do things and with the guest who had no idea. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like if you and Jerry went in, we'd pull you aside, Karen, and we'd take you in the back and say, hey, do you want to be on a game show? Well, all you have to do is listen to this little earpiece in your ear, and this celebrity is going to tell you what to do. And the more things you do without telling Jerry that you're on a show, the more money you're going to make.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it was an Israeli format, and it's been all over the world, and it happened to be what we were doing here in L.A. shooting.
So Kylie was one of
She was one of the celebrities, and she was fantastic. You know, she's now, this was 4 years ago or 5 years ago, and she's been in the news now because, you know, they're saying she's like the first self-made billionaire.
Can you even believe that?
Yeah. And the thing that struck me is when I saw her then, she was kind of just your typical kind of, I don't say like quirky, but kind of like going through that change where you're not like
pre-plastic surgery.
Yeah,
is like, that what you're saying?
I don't want. Yes, exactly. You know, I mean, the Kylie that I've seen lately, she's got a different chin, a different, you know, cheeks. She's got lips,
different curves.
And,
yeah.
Oh, well. And I mean, she looks gorgeous. You know, so I think whatever she's earning, I mean, she's really actually had to work for it. in some ways.
We're talking to Victor Cohen on WGN. When we come back, we're going to be talking about writing comedy. How do you write something funny? We'll be taking your legal calls at 8 o'clock. The number is 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question of any type or you want to talk about a current event, I've kind of been out of the news for 2 weeks, so hopefully I'll be able to keep up with you, but happy to take your calls. And getting back to our guest, we have Victor Cohen here, who is a comedy writer, an actor, a producer. He's done all kinds of different things. And now, Victor, what I really want to talk about is how do you write comedy? How do you approach something to make everyone look smart? And I want to give you an example, because I think maybe like I'm doing a television show, okay? The Karen Conti television show, which
and I'm a big fan of it.
Okay. I'm already a big fan of it. I don't even have it.
All right, I know.
All right. So I'm going to do a show, and I'm going to interview Stormy Daniels.
Okay.
And I heard, and I didn't hear the whole story, but apparently she was arrested this past week.
It's been stormy for
touching someone in a strip club. The
charges were dropped.
Oh, they were dropped. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's just say that Stormy's going to come on my show, and I'm going to interview her, and this is a light segment, so I'm not doing the heavy hitting, 60-minute interview, but I'm trying to make us all look fun and lively and intelligent and entertaining. How do you approach this job to write for me?
Right. Well, the first thing is you're an attorney. So what I like to do is look at the person, their personality, and what makes them different. So what makes you different, I think, is that you're not only funny, witty, and what makes you different is you have that great legal background. So that's a perfect, we could get into some legal questions that other people who are hosting probably, it wouldn't be as right in their ballpark, if that
right.
makes sense.
Yes.
So, things like asking her if there was just a report that Stormy might be getting a divorce. Well, guess who happens to be a family attorney? That's a great way to play off your personality and what you do versus if someone else were hosting the show and asking questions who weren't an attorney, they couldn't ask that question.
Got it.
And I also think that I'm curious what's going on with her attorney and herself. Like, I feel like there's some heat there.
Oh, you do?
I do. And I think that if she's getting a divorce, if it's true, it's a rumor, I believe, at this point. But if it's true, I want to know a little bit about that. So it really depends also on the take that you want to, we would talk about this way ahead of time. Are you wanting to take some chances with some kind of news-making questions that could actually become news? Or
right.
do you want to not go there and play nice and just make the person feel good? Because, I would be accommodating you however you want to go.
So let me just ask you, if people who write for the Jay Leto's and the Lettermans and the Conans, are those people basically writing some of their material, and do they have pre-planned jokes and questions that they're going to ask the guests? Your answer is probably yes.
Well, yeah, the questions are generally pre-planned. A lot of times those questions aren't written necessarily from a comedy writer. They're written by the producer, because most guests are assigned producers who do all the background information. They do all the interviewing ahead of time. And from those pre-interviews, the questions then are prepared for the host in usually like a pre-show meeting.
Are you always able to be funny? Like, it seems to me like, for instance, I like to write, but I'm not always in the mood to write. I sometimes sit down, I have my cup of coffee, and I want to write, and it just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. But sometimes I do, and it's sort of a come-and-go thing. Being funny, is that something that is, you have a certain time of day that you need to do it, you need to sit in a quiet room? What
3:05 p.m. to 3:07 is my funny time.
Is it?
No. No. You know what it is? I think what it is, Karen, really, I think that the funny, for me, happens in real life, like in conversation. Like if you and I were hanging out with your husband and we were just wherever, and if I just in the moment said something that made you guys laugh, I would write it down.
Yes.
So I like that kind of writing because it's organic and it's also
spontaneous.
Yeah. And like when I'm with you guys, I'm going to have, I have that extra motivation because it's fun to make people laugh and it'd be fun to make you guys laugh.
Well, it, as you know, and many of my listeners know, my father was a professional stand-up comic. So growing up with him, I saw how he did it. He was always looking for the laugh. Mm-hmm. He was always looking, not, you know, not an, in an appropriate setting.
Sure.
But he was always thinking of the pun. He was anticipating what the punchline is. And he didn't always do it. It wasn't always funny, but he took that chance. And as a result, he was very good at that kind of thing.
Right. I always say, you know, if a joke doesn't land, I just go, hey, you know, they're not all going to be winners.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
and
right.
That can get a laugh, too.
That's
you know?
Absolutely.
There's always
right.
a way to handle it. Or like, I like when things go bad, because I think when they're bad, that's even more of a fun time to work off the reality of the bad. Not necessarily a joke not working, but like if I were to ask a girl, a woman, like out, you know, let's say, because I'm single, you know, and she said, oh, well, my husband, you know, I'm married. You know, let's say she didn't have a ring on, and I wouldn't have known. And I said, well, let's invite him. You know?
Right.
I love group just hanging out. You know, nothing. I don't get dirty or anything. But, you know, because it's like, instead of being like, oh, my God, I just asked someone who's married.
So you're single.
Yeah.
I don't know any single men. This is good.
Wait, I'm
gonna
straight.
I'm going to be able to.
Are you being a fix me? I'm looking for a woman.
I'm going to fix you up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you believe me, I am very open that I'm new to Chicago. I mean, even though, like you said, I grew up in the northern suburbs, now I live downtown. I am totally geographically desirable. I will travel. I am very good with the red line and the brown line. I have not made it to the pink line. But I would love to find a reason to hit the pink line.
Now, this is something that I heard from a study that was done about men and women, difference between men and women and what they're looking for. The study said that women want a man who's going to make them laugh.
Oh, good.
And a man wants a woman who's going to laugh at his jokes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Two totally different things that sort of coincide, which is good. You want to make someone laugh, and women like to have someone make them laugh. If you're being a comedy writer and being a comedic actor, do you want a woman who makes you laugh, or do you want to make her laugh?
You know what? I just want someone who's real.
Yeah.
It's like, it's nice if they get the joke. I mean, that's always like a kind of a turn on. And if they happen to be very witty in the moment, that's always a turn on too. But I think what I like the most is just someone who's really warm and sincere. And, you know, even though I work and have worked a lot in the comedy world, I'm actually a very serious person.
Right.
So, you know, I am not that person who's constantly on, you know, where the on switch and it's like, oh my God, who put a quarter in him? Like, I don't want to be that guy.
You know, to that point, there's some idea that comedians and people who are involved in comedy are dark. And you see some of the people who have drug overdosed or depressed or committed suicide, and you see a lot of them in the comedic world.
Yeah.
Is that something that is prevalent? Is that something that's necessary in order to be funny, that you have to have this dark side?
Well, you know, I think that part of the problem doing stand-up comedy, and also just the entertainment business in general, is there's a lot of downtime. And so there's a lot of isolation. And you know that saying is the devil's workshop?
Oh, right. Yeah, idle mind or something.
Idle time is the devil's workshop. I think that there's something to that. Also, a lot of comics get off on the adrenaline rush of performing, and it's kind of an addiction.
Sure.
And I think that's why oftentimes there are cross addictions or multiple addictions. And then that's how they get into the drugs and the drinking and
do you also think that, like in my profession, if I lose a case, I take that hard, but I can also say that the law and the facts sometimes are not with me. I did my best, and I just didn't convince the judge or the jury, and I don't take it personally. I try not to, and it's in, I can do that, at least at mm-hmm. this point in my career after doing it for so many years. But as a comedian, when you get up there and let's just say you're on the stage and you're not doing well, that's a personal issue. That I would take that personally. They didn't like me, or
right.
my joke didn't go over, or, you know, is that
well
kind
full
of
disclosure, I am in therapy twice a week.
Now, you don't want to tell the dating websites that, do you?
You know what? Actually, I'm kind of joking. It depends on the week. But I only share that with you, Karen, because I know you'll keep it private.
And the three listeners tonight.
No.
You and the three listeners.
There are
listeners,
a lot more
right?
than that. There's my mom, my dad. I've got two brothers and your family, and Jerry's here. And we've got Ben in the control room. So, I mean,
but we'll all keep this quiet.
Yeah, please. No one. You know what? I think the therapy is awesome. and I'm not ashamed of it. I love it. I think it's so helpful, and it would have been another career for me, actually.
Do you consider this therapy what we're doing right now?
I love it because we're being honest and vulnerable a bit, although, I mean, I'm the one being vulnerable a bit. How have you ever been to a therapist?
I have not been to a therapist.
Well, maybe.
And I'm not proud of that at all, because I think everyone could use therapy. I really do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I need it. I mean, like, you know, I'm going through a huge transition, not that I'm, like, bouncing off of walls, but, you know, I did live in L.A. for 26 years. That's like having car insurance out there. You have to have a therapist.
The perfect plastic surgeon and everything else. Yeah. Victor, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to give you as a parting gift, because on game shows, you always have to have a parting gift.
Oh, my God. You brought me something.
I brought you on National Give Something Away Day, a Karen Conti WGN radio hat.
Oh, my gosh. This is so cool.
So wear it in good health. Victor Cohen, thank you so much for joining me.
I love this. KC.